I always find St. John the Baptist an interesting figure in the Old Testament. His father, Zechariah, was of the priestly class, and we learn this from the Gospel of St. Luke, because he's in offering incense before the blessed, before the throne of God in the temple, and when the angel Gabriel comes to announce to him that he's going to be a father. So John could have had a very comfortable life, a very exemplary life as a priest. And yet John was willing to give all of that up because he knew the Lord was asking him to do something else, to prepare the way of the Lord, as Isaiah speaks of him, one who is crying out and preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. And John comes on the scene just like Elijah, who's dressed in camel's hair, calling the people to repentance, to turn away from sin, and to return to God, and using a baptism of water to be a symbol of that cleansing, a changing of life, and a motivation for them to remain constant to God's will. But he's also reminding the people there is one coming after him, somebody even greater, who will not use signs, but will use great powers to convey the kingdom of God, and that is close at hand. Isaiah, in our first reading, is speaking to the people of Israel held in bondage in Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. And even amidst their sinfulness, God still offers them hope. Hope that there's going to be a future day when the Messiah will come and restore them to that right relationship, bringing healing and forgiveness and restoring them to who they were called to be from the very beginning. Now, for some who heard St. John's voice, it was a voice of hope and comfort and motivation to turn back to the Lord. And others who have heard St. John's voice found it disturbing because it was making them change their way of life, and they didn't want to do that. They were comfortable, even in their sinfulness. It's okay, I'll just stay as I am. Every prophet except Jeremiah was killed by the people. And I would bet St. John had that in the back of his mind, that if he says this message, if he continues to proclaim this news, he may end up just like all the other prophets. But the motivation of what God is calling him to do, to prepare the people, to help them turn away from sin, to believe, was far greater than anything he may have to suffer. While thinking about our own selves at times, we may have to take a spiritual inventory. And I always think Advent is a good opportunity for us to do that, to take a look at our lives and how we are responding to God's will, how we're trying to grow in holiness and virtue. And even in the midst of our sins, God offers to each one of us hope that we don't have to despair, because his grace and love and mercy is with all of us, his people. We don't have to live in that despair, but to turn away from sin ourselves and repent and believe. You know, for me as a priest, other than offering the sacrifice of the Mass, probably the greatest thing I get to do is to hear confessions. And to hear and to be able to say those powerful words, "And I absolve you of your sins," speaking for Christ, taking away those burdens that weigh humanity down. And for me as a sinner, it is a great help to me and a relief to hear the words of the priest say, "And I absolve you of your sins," and relieve me of the burdens that I carry upon myself. St. Peter reminds us in our second reading today that people may think God is just delaying, that we have plenty of time. I could do this years from now. I got plenty of time to wait and turn away from sin and live the way God wants before I die. Peter is reminding us that the delay, as we may think, is God being patient to help us to make sure that we have that opportunity to turn away from sin, to put him first in our lives, and to respond to him in grace and love. Because one day, the patience will be gone, and the day we come before our God will be there. And all the times when we said, "Well, I'll get to that later," will be no more. It is a time to be able to say to God, "Here I am," and to take account of what we have done in our lives and then receive the judgment. So on the second Sunday of Advent, St. John is calling to each one of us from the Jordan River to turn away from sin, to repent, and take this opportunity to draw closer to Christ and to grow in that wisdom and holiness and virtue so that we can be the people God always intended us to be.